This week, we're in the middle of a three-week series on preparing for the sun, kind of leading into our summer series, Summer with the Sun. And as we look at this time that we spend with Jesus, we're spending a few weeks here in Matthew chapter 3 and 4 as we look at the preparation for the ministry of Jesus. And then in June, we're going to dive into the Sermon on the Mount and just start unwrapping it a layer at a time and spend the summer with the teaching of Jesus, applying it to our life, recognizing that Jesus is the core of what we believe, of what we live, of who we are. And this morning, as we consider preparing for the sun, we're going to look at being prepared to overcome. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, Jesus says through his messenger, "To the one who overcomes, I will give the crown of life." And so I think that ought to raise a fair question in our mind. What does it look like to overcome? How do I do that? And I think we get a pretty good picture of how God wants us to overcome as we look at the beginning, the first 11 verses of Matthew chapter 4. These 11 verses tell the story of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Last week we looked at Jesus being baptized by John in the Jordan in order to fulfill all righteousness, in order to do what was right. And from there he moves into the wilderness to where he is fasting, going without food and water for 40 days. But it's more than that. He's being tempted. We often think of these final three temptations that are detailed by Matthew, but we look at Scripture and we discover that it says he was being tempted throughout these 40 days. And yet he overcame. The Bible says that we can look to Jesus as our high priest, as the one who makes things right between us and God, because he's one that understands us, the one that has been tempted in every way that we have, and yet without sin. He overcame. So this morning, as I consider what it looks like to be one who is prepared to overcome, I want us to consider what it looks like to be one who knows the Word. That's how Jesus overcame. It was by using Scripture. It was by using the very words of his Father to overcome. But I want to look at the bigger picture of how knowing the Word in the context of Jesus and his temptations help us to be prepared. I believe one of the reasons that we fall into temptation or that we give into temptation is because it catches us off guard. And we're so deep into it by the time we realize that we're trapped. And we begin to ask ourselves, how in the world did I get into this? And how in the world do I get out of it? And so when we look at knowing the Word this morning, we're not going to look simply at knowing this, although that's the core of it. We're going to look at the surroundings. So we're beginning by recognizing that knowing the Word requires that we know the wilderness, that we pay attention to our surroundings, these first three verses of Matthew chapter 4. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Surprise? I fast 10 minutes and I'm hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. We know the wilderness when we examine the life that we live and we pay attention to the circumstances. Jesus knew he was in the desert. He knew that the devil was planning on tempting him, planning on trapping him, planning on leading him in a path that would destroy God's entire plan for mankind. And sometimes we fail to know the wilderness because we've taken ourselves into there and we kind of like it. And we've put ourselves into the face of temptation because there's elements of it that we somewhat enjoy. And we don't view it as the desert. We don't view it as the wilderness. We don't view it in light of the enemy trying to trap us, trying to deceive us, trying to trick us. And so when we look at how to overcome, we look at the wilderness that we live in. We look at the wilderness that we work in. So many times, people are led down a path that leads to destruction by people that they've begun to trust, that they've built relationship with, that have, hidden motives. And so it's important as we live life to constantly keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen. To realize the wilderness of this world is the domain of Satan, the prince of this earth. Now we know he's going to be destroyed, that his power is limited. He's not God. He wants people to think he is. He wants people to think he's just as powerful or even more powerful. But he takes the wilderness setting that we find ourselves in and he makes the claim that he can do something about it. And we like that. When we find ourselves in the midst of struggle, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of difficulty, and someone comes along and says, I can help with that. We say, wow. It's one of the reasons why scams are prolific. If I could speak, I'd be dangerous. Why, they're everywhere. They'll send an email, they'll make a phone call, they'll send a text message. Do you need help getting out of debt? Well, sure, why not? And unsuspecting people will send information that actually gets them into more debt. Because they found themselves in the wilderness of debt and they've not realized that the enemy wants to use that against them. And there's so many scams that play on our wilderness experience because we don't like the wilderness. And Satan comes along and Jesus has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights and he's hungry and he says, you know, I can help with that. As a matter of fact, Satan tells Jesus, you can take care of this yourself. You can turn the stone into bread. And sometimes Satan wants to take us in our wilderness moment and says, you're the answer, in order to take our eyes off of Jesus. You can take care of this yourself. You don't need God to help with this. And so we know the word in order to overcome when we know the wilderness that's this world. And we're mindful of the only real help in the wilderness is God. The only real solution to coming out of the wilderness and into the promised land is God. The Israelites wandered for 40 years because they thought they could solve the wilderness problem on their own. And if they had just believed and trusted God 40 years earlier, they would have been into the promised land. So we look to God in the midst of our wilderness experience. But we begin by knowing that we're in it. Not only do we need to know the wilderness, but we also need to know the opportunity. As I mentioned, the Israelites had an opportunity to get out of the wilderness 40 years earlier than what they did. But they missed it. And sometimes we find ourselves in the wilderness because God has brought us into there to teach us, to prune us, to correct us, to train us. And sometimes we find ourselves in the wilderness because we've ignored the exit sign that God says it's time to leave. It's time to go home. It's time to be in the promised land. Pay attention to the opportunity so that you can evaluate. Is it real? Is it from God? Or is it from the enemy? Is it made up? These next few verses, 5 through 9 of chapter 4, Matthew, picking up actually verse 4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All of this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." The enemy wants to present an opportunity that's fake, but it looks real. And we know the word when we know the real opportunity to be buried with Christ so that we can rise with Christ. The enemy wants to convince us there's a better way. There's an easier way. There's a more comfortable way. And when we look at how God moves in our life, we have to examine the opportunities that we're hearing and evaluate. Is this from God? Or is this from the enemy? To understand, Satan offers these opportunities to Jesus that look like it might be worth trying. "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. The angels will come and take care of you, and everybody will see that you are who you say you are." Let's just run a shortcut here. Jesus responds to that, and so he tries another one. "If you just bow down and worship me, I will give you everything that's mine." The opportunity to avoid the cross. Unfortunately, for Satan, Jesus could see right through it. Fortunately for us, Jesus could see right through it. Being given by Satan that which belonged to God anyhow was really nothing. Yes, he's described as the prince of this world. He has some rule and authority. But Jesus knew, because his Father had set it into place, that the rule and authority of Satan is temporary. In fact, on the cross, Satan would be completely defeated. His power of death, his rule, would no longer have the weight that it once had. And we look at God's Word, and we know the opportunities of God's Word, and that helps us to avoid the fake opportunities of the devil. You know, all of those times in our mind when we say to ourselves, I know what the Bible says, but this looks too good to pass up. I know how God says I ought to live, but this looks too good to miss. And when those things of life look too good to be true, one of those lessons my mom taught me: if it's too good to be true, it's probably not true. And those opportunities that the enemy wants to put in front of us, God says, look at my word and discover, is it real or is it fake? It's time spent with God. It's time in his word. It's time in prayer. It's time with one another that helps us to evaluate those opportunities of this world and say, you know what, I've got a better opportunity. I'm going to be one that overcomes. And Jesus promises the crown of life. We know how to overcome when we know the wilderness that we live in. We know how to overcome when we know the opportunities that God wants to give us through Jesus. We also know how to overcome when we know how to respond. Three times Jesus is tempted here in Matthew chapter 4 that's recorded for us. Three times we have also recorded his response. Verse 4. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Verse 7. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Verse 10. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. We're prepared to overcome when we know the response that we ought to give is a response that comes from God's word. For each temptation recorded for us, the response of Jesus is, it is written. You can't fool me. I've studied for this. I remember one time in high school, and I don't remember even which class it was in. I took a test, and the teacher marked my answer wrong. And I knew I was right. And this was more than just wanting to be right. And I took the textbook to my teacher, and in essence said, it is written what I wrote here on the test. And somehow the answer key had gotten messed up, and I actually did have the correct answer, and I was able to show, it is written here. And he accepted it and changed my grade, changed my score. The grade, I think, was the same. It was just one question. But I had to be right, and there's an issue with that, but that's a whole other story. But that's how we learn to overcome, as we learn God's word well enough that we can say and respond to the enemy when we're tempted, it is written, And we respond to that temptation by the truth of God's word. We spend time with God so that our response is not just made up answers out of our own head. Our response is not just made up answers that we've seen on social media. Our response is not just dictated by a popular vote. We're prepared to overcome when we know the response of God's word. And when Jesus is tempted, his response is that God is enough to sustain me. His response is God is enough to trust. His response is God is enough to serve. When we recognize the wilderness that we live in that's called earth, when we recognize the opportunity that God gives us to choose Him over the enemy, when we recognize the response that is provided by God Himself, we're prepared to overcome. But there's one more element that we need to know. Not in the same sense that we know the wilderness, not in the same sense that we know the opportunity, especially not in the same sense that we know the response. But I believe it's important that we also know the devil. This last verse, verse 11 of Matthew chapter 4. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. One of the other gospel writers add this element. The devil left him for a more opportune time. He didn't give up. He simply stepped back to regroup and says, we'll try this again later. And one of the important things to know as one who is prepared to overcome is that the devil will not give up. Oh, he may step back for a season. He may make you think that you're immune. He may lull you into a false sense of security. But he has a singular goal, and that's to take as many people with him as he can, to dissuade as many people as possible from ever learning about Jesus. He wants to continually draw you into temptation. Not necessarily a temptation that would destroy your faith in God, but a temptation that would destroy your reputation and your witness for God. And we know the word when we know that the devil doesn't want to give up, and so neither will we. We'll always be on guard. We'll always be prepared. We'll always be waiting. It's fascinating, and I believe perhaps the final temptation of Jesus was a temptation there in the garden, as he prays, not my will, but yours be done. I believe he prayed that because there was a temptation there to bypass the cross. Satan never gave up. Satan used the emotions that Jesus felt as one of us. Satan used the people that should have been godly leaders and weren't. Satan used the crowds. Satan even used one of the 12 disciples. When we know the devil, we know that his desire is to make us ineffective. Oh, he would love to keep us away from God completely, but his secondary goal is to just make us ineffective. And we live as those who overcome when we understand the promise of God. When the Word tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, we know that God is more powerful. Satan wanted Jesus to believe that he held the upper hand, and Jesus says, no, you don't. And throughout the ministry of Jesus, I believe that these temptations continued in a variety of ways. And every time, Jesus would make it clear that in fact he's the one that held the upper hand. Even to the extent of not willing to elevate himself. He says, everything I do, everything I say comes from the Father. Jesus knew the importance of worshiping God and God alone. This morning, we gather as the body of believers, we gather as those who are pursuing a relationship with Jesus. We gather, I believe, we gather because we are those who want to overcome. We want that crown of life. So the question for every one of us is, will I be prepared by God's Word? As we come to a time of decision this morning, the question for you might be, what does my wilderness really look like? What hardships of life is the enemy using to make me give up on Jesus? Pretending to offer a better way. Perhaps your question is, what is the opportunity before me and who does it come from? Is Satan trying to offer an opportunity that would lead me into temptation, or is the opportunity I'm facing something God is saying is leading me away from temptation? What will your response be when temptation comes? And it does come. Will your response be based on an awareness and a knowledge and a practice of God's Word? Responding that way isn't always comfortable. It definitely isn't always popular. But it's always right. Will you live with an awareness that the devil's not giving up? Your victory today does not assure victory tomorrow. The decision to overcome is a daily decision. To respond in a way that prepares for Jesus to be in charge. The great, great news for all of us is we don't get it right every time. But God does. The song we sang leading into the message, His grace and mercy has brought us through. When we fail, it's His grace and mercy that keeps us. We don't live as those that say, well, then it doesn't matter. We live as those who seek to please God, even knowing that when we don't, His love The Bible talks about love covering a multitude of sin, and we often apply that to our relationships with one another, which is true. But it begins with God's love covering a multitude of our sin by His grace and mercy. Today, will you live as one prepared to overcome as you know the Word and you put it into practice? If you're here this morning, if you're joining us online and you've never surrendered to Jesus, you've never declared Him Lord of your life, that's where this being prepared to overcome begins. I'd love to have that conversation with you about your next steps in this walk with Christ and your desire to be His. But generally, we gather on a Sunday morning, we worship God because we've claimed Him to be our Lord and Savior. We've declared Him to be our Lord and Savior. We want Him to be our Lord and Savior. But life's still hard. Life's still filled with difficult choices. Life's choices are not always the ones that we want to see. If you're here this morning and you need to make that decision for Christ, you can join me in the room to my left and we can begin that conversation. If you just need someone to pray with you, you also can join me in the room to my left and we can pray together. You can always find somebody near you and say, "Hey, would you pray with me?" And I would encourage you to pray with one another. The Bible tells us to do that. Make arrangements to meet with someone or pray with them throughout the week. But be those who live prepared for the Son as you prepare to overcome by His Word. Would you stand as we sing?